This is Pure Decking for June the 2nd, show 18. It might be Thursday. I'm not actually sure. I'm sitting in a dark room with aluminum foil over the windows. So as far as I can, the world could have ended outside. I'm in my bunker. Tonight we've got Heavy Metal, Suave, BSV, and the ever-present RU486. Hey, guys.
So, hey, how's it going?
Hello.
Anyways, so I figured to start off with tonight, just hit a subject near and dear to Suave's heart. I figured he wanted to talk about Anthony Weiner's wiener.
Wiener!
And now that I've made that joke, how about we go on to something real? So, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk about the story. The only reason to even bring it up on the show was he made the fake cry of hacking when he fucked up. And I think we're going to see that more and more. Anytime somebody fucks up on a big way on their social media, my account was hacked. Yeah, it was hacked. Yeah.
It's just like those celebrities today that like get fucked up on drugs. You go, oh no, I'm bipolar. You're not fucking bipolar. You just stuck fucking 6 ounces of cocaine up your fucking nostrils and fucked a prostitute and killed her. You're not bipolar, bitch.
Yeah, it's called direct message, okay? Instead of reply.
This is why you don't even do shit like that over Twitter. Twitter is public. Look it up. It's never had any privacy to it. And ladies and gentlemen, hang on.
You can break it down just like this. Would you wave your dick at traffic? No, you wouldn't? Then why wave your dick on the internet? Same fucking thing.
You don't even do that kind of shit over Facebook or MySpace or even LinkedIn, for God's sake. If you're going to do that kind of stuff, you get on some sort of a private instant messenger.
Mm-hmm.
AOL, Skype, ICQ, for God's sake.
Do that over private, end up on Motherless the next day.
Winning.
Even if you're on a webcam, that shit's still probably getting recorded on the other end.
Fucking A.
Especially if you're talking to a politician.
Who actually sitting here right now does not have a copy of some sort of recording device sitting on the desktop?
Yeah. I'm recording a fucking show and broadcasting it to the internet, and you ask?
It's our job.
Well, see, it's not just the host of a show. It can be anyone, people. Anyone.
Well, I mean, any PC is a recording device.
Mm-hmm,
there's a reason why when I had to go serve jury duty, they were like, yeah, you can't bring a cell phone or a computer in here. And it's because they are really worried about that shit. So.
Yeah.
But, guys.
If they were really worried about it, they'd pat your ass down because you could get a recording device in there about the size of a fucking postage stamp if you really wanted to.
Yeah, they made you walk through a couple of metal detectors, and they did pat another guy down because he set it off, so. Yeah. Anyway, so we got to have a moment of silence here because, as we discovered this evening, my controller for the soundboard is well and truly dead, so. I'm going to have to pull it apart and resolder it or reprogram it or something because it is truly fucked. And that's enough of that, because everybody hates the fucking soundboard. So, I say the soundboard's broken, and, you know, you just hear the tears of joy in the background, so.
Yeah. I mean, Adam Curry will weep along with you, I'm telling you what.
Hey, I had really backed off using it. I really had. I'm just upset that the controller's broke more than anything else, so.
But, you're going to go in there, it's going to be one fucking solder connection. That's all.
Well,
for those of you playing along with the home game, let's go back a couple of months now. Let's reminisce over this little controller device. There we had young, blessed-faced Morps sitting there going, guys, guess what? I just got a pack of 8 buttons delivered. Yeah. Dude, they're all different colors. Yeah, so fucking what, man? You got a box of buttons. Guys, guess what? I'm building a controller. I'm making a soundboard. Yeah, whatever, man. Fuck, yeah.
It works.
Guys, it fucking works! Look! Dusty!
Dusty! He's not wrong. That's the sad part.
Dusty! Shut up, Mops, you fucking idiot!
Yeah, but I was doing that on your show, not mine.
Here we have the life and death of the controller known as the Silent One.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I'll fix it later. Maybe this weekend, I don't know. Of course,
my dead body.
Okay.
You're going to fly out here just to keep me from fixing that thing, aren't you?
Operative team to retrieve the curb so it can't be brought back to life.
I think so.
Well, you know, it's just like any other zombie. You got to cut its head off. So. But anyway, so for a real topic here, let me go ahead and throw this link in the Skype chat for you guys. I probably ought to do show notes, you know, since we mentioned these links, but what the fuck. So pretty much gist of this story is that a SCADA talk that was going to be given at the Takedown conference was canned. A couple of researchers from NSS Labs were asked by the United States government and Siemens not to give the talk. They said they were very nice about it. I like how they made a point of that in the article, too. It's like, oh, yes, they very nicely asked us not to talk about this. And the problem with that is, they're still fucking talking about it. They're putting out a story saying we're not talking about it, which means other people are going to go nuts digging on SCADA systems. So
that's the perfect answer. Oh, we're going to cancel the talk. Yeah, we've canceled the talk by these wonderful, nice people about this particular subject. You know, Google is your friend. Yes, these are really wonderfully kind government individuals. Google is your friend, you know.
Well, I tell you, in all honesty, if the Department of Homeland Security showed up at my door and said, hi, yeah, we know what you've been working on, and we really don't want you to talk about it. Well, they have guns. So I would. They have more, well. Let me rephrase. They have more guns than me.
That is the correct answer.
So, and they have the bulletproof vests, and I've got an e-vest. So.
A life preserver.
Life preserver. So I don't think I would win that one, but there's other ways of getting the data out. So, but yeah.
I'll tell you a little trick. Huh? Close your eyes, they go away.
Close your eyes. So, I wish
you're not here, la 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 la, can I hear you?
It's like, okay, I'll just go back to browsing, you know, 4chan now. Anyways. So. Anyways. But, I mean, you know, in all seriousness, if you're a researcher that, you know, you're trying to keep your head down, you don't want to get, you know, you don't want to get all kinds of attention, you don't want to be the security rock star, because those guys have trouble keeping a job. You know, because there are huge liabilities. Companies sue security researchers all the time because, you know, they don't want their stuff getting out. Even though the lawsuit's frivolous, it's the whole "we have more money than you" tactic. So, although truthfully, I'd rather them, you know, as opposed to showing up saying, "Yeah, hi, why don't you not talk about this?" I would much rather see the, "Yeah, hi. All that research you did, yeah, we know that's your intellectual property because that's how research works, and we'd like to buy it from you with exclusive rights. And you'll just, you know, we'll give you $5,000, you'll sign this NDA, or, you know, $15,000, or $15,000.
I believe in the past that was how they approached people a lot, but I don't know if you noticed, we're fucking broke.
Well, that's true, but I mean, well, I'm talking companies now, not so much the government. I mean, yeah, the government just shows up and they're like, yeah, hi, we're the government, you're fucked. So. I mean, that's been the case with the government for a long time. I don't like those people. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Not to stick your head up there. It's a game of whack-a-mole. Who can hit morphs first?
Yeah, well, I'm just, you know, I don't like those people. They're not nice. Anyways, you know, they take my money. And it's like, guys, I need that money. And it's like, no, you don't. We need it more. It's like, well, what do you need my money for? We're the government. I mean, that's what the
answer. Oh, I was just reading through this article here, man. So this was all about the Stuxnet shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, right now...
This is a show here, like, for information. Those who are not reading this article, it's pretty much... They're pulling apart the Stuxnet virus.
Yeah.
And going to talk about it. Which, I would have liked to have heard this talk.
Well, I've actually attended several talks and read some papers on Stuxnet now. Stuxnet was fucking scary, okay?
I know. We played it off a bit of a joke at the I Have Nothing show there of the Stuxnet virus, but talking to you over the time warps, it really started to hit home how fucking dangerous this worm was. Well, not a worm, but... Easy it was to infect other machines. Like, there was that one case of it infecting an American nuclear power station, and all the dude did was pick up a thumb drive out of the car park.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm going to... I was recently at a security conference. This is where I was last week. And there was a nice talk given on Stuxnet. And the model Stuxnet presents... I think it's going to be the future of, you know, God, here's a buzzword, cyber warfare. Because that's what it was. I mean, this was not...
Sexual warfare.
Yes. I mean...
Giggity. Oh,
yeah. Giggity. Anyways.
With the exception of the fact that it spread farther than they thought it would, it was a fucking brilliant design. In the way it operated, the fact that it would actually only spin those centrifuges up at a certain point in time and just fast enough to slowly damage them over time so that you wasn't in a catastrophic failure, that was a beautiful, beautiful setup as far as that was done. And to go in there and be that specifically targeted, I think, and that's the key there, is really specific targeting of your opponent's vulnerabilities to not do a takedown, but to really kind of get in there and just, you know,
Stuxnet was intended to damage those centrifuges and attempted to ruin the Iranian nuclear facility. We know that. And the way we know that's what it was meant to do is, besides them pulling apart the code and these things being very specifically targeted to that particular model of centrifuge, they did a breakdown of where the Stuxnet infections were. And normally when you look at a breakdown of where infections are, you see a lot of them out of China, you see a lot of them out of Russia, you see a fairly good number out of the States, you see some out of Europe, about as much as you'd see in the States, give or take. One of the reasons you see so many out of China and Russia, by the way, is because most of Chinese and Russian computers are running pirated copies of Windows and not getting updates, just to throw that out there. But yeah, it was like over 90% of the infected machines from the Stuxnet worm were in Iran. It's like, and I just love the presenter up there. You know, he was pointing at it and he goes, "This is not normal." So, and it's like anybody who's looked at malware trends, it's like, he would be correct. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, it's the model that Stuxnet gives really is how you're going to see people trying to use digital attacks and, well, hacking, for lack of a better word, to go after the resources of other countries. You know, if you want to take it into that whole warfare stance. Because, you know, they've thrown that word around, you know, cyber war, they've thrown that around since the 90s. It hasn't meant shit. But now we're starting to get to the point where it does mean something. And I guess I can give a little bit of a breakdown of the overview I have of Stuxnet. Have I done that on the show? Have we talked about it?
Not on pure decking.
Not in real depth. But I'd just like to add something here. Like, my idea of this cyber warfare thing. This is not going to be between countries. This is between corporations.
It's going to actually be between both countries and corporations, and you're going to see countries and corporations acting on par with each other, pretty much.
My only question is, there a difference? I mean, really, most corporations own their particular host countries in some way or another.
So, oh yeah, there's a difference. Yeah. Governments, yeah, depending on who's in charge of them, are going to have, you know, wildly varying goals, whether it's military strategy or they're just trying to make somebody look bad, versus companies, which ultimately, at the end of the day, they're trying to make a profit. So if they're attacking somebody, it's going to be a competitor. It's going to be somebody who's got something they want. It's going to be somebody they want to keep out of the market. So corporate attacks on other corporate entities are going to be very predictable versus you know, nationals going after each other. They're going to be a mix of predictable and unpredictable. And then, of course, you're still going to have the hacktivists and all the independent crews thrown in there. And, you know, that's the fun thing is this thing's leveling the playing field. You know, the internet levels it. So you're going to have multinational corps. You're going to have smaller companies. You're going to have, I've been calling them nationals, but really it's not going to be like the United States attacked Russia. It's going to be more like the NSA is going after the KGB.
Right,
so
right.
It's going to, and you might even have independent agencies. Yeah, you know, I have no doubt that you've got guys on the FBI trying to hack guys in the CIA and vice versa. I have no doubt of that in my mind. So you're going to see independent sections of agencies going after each other, along with it's a fucking mess, is what it is. But
every time we get a new tool out, you know, of course everybody on the web is going to sit there and reverse engineer it and sit there and use it as their own. So it's going to, yeah, all of this high quality goods are going to start coming on. It's going to be fun to play with.
Well,
you know. Oh, just if anybody wants the latest PSP information, the PlayStation 3 Sony hack, it's all up on Mega Upload right now. So you'll find it for you. I'm looking at it.
Oh, God. Yep, Sony hacked again.
You know, you should probably throw me a link for that. I should download that and see if I'm on there.
That's actually a very legitimate thing. In all seriousness, yeah, do the Google search, get the Sony PSN information, and just make sure you're not in the list.
Yeah.
That's actually a great idea.
We got to realize their IT lead job posting has only been out for, like, what, a month? They haven't had a chance to get somebody in there and actually, you know, make any changes yet.
Well, maybe if they'd quit blaming Anonymous, they'd get left alone. I mean, it's like, let's go kick a hornet's nest. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
But anyways, I guess I can give an overview of Stuxnet here and why this thing was such... I mean, this is the model that you're going to see things using. First of all, we only heard about Stuxnet in 2011. The thing's been kicking around since 07, at least. The reason we know that is because that's what the certificates that were in it were dated. It was using it was using attacks that were then used by, like, Code Red and NMDA, but like MS-0867, it was using that to spread. But here, it was this compound multi. What worries me about Stuxnet is the thing was very, very smart, very compound, and now you're going to see lots of copycats now that the model of it is getting out there. What they did was they knew that the facility they actually wanted to target was air-gapped. Its network was not connected to the internet, with good reason. So they designed their worm to spread via the way regular worms do and have their payload, but also to infect USB drives. And once it was carried via USB drive into an air-gapped network, it then began to spread again, which that's kind of neat. But the other thing it would do is it would constantly update itself and update the infected thumb drives. So if you had somebody using a flash drive taking data to and from, well, like, let's say, you know, you had a secretary or somebody who worked at the nuclear facility, and they also had a machine they used maybe at a coffee shop or at home. Computer ownership is kind of oddball in that kind of the world, so it's you know, I don't know whether they would have their own machine or not, right? But so you got somebody who maybe has a flash drive and it gets infected, and because they're taking it home and hooking it up to, you know, their home computer or the coffee shop computer and putting, you know, working on stuff, updating stuff on it, then taking it to work and plugging it into the work, it's actually updating the worm with CNC channel via this sneaker net, you know, the old floppy network, right? And then the one updated worm could go out and update the rest because it was establishing a peer-to-peer CNC channel. it wasn't all the bots connecting to an IRC server hitting a web page for instructions. These things were actually establishing peer-to-peer networks LimeWire style, or Skype style.
Oh, wow.
That is nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is beautiful.
So each of the nodes, so the nodes were forming this independent network that is very difficult to take out. You know, you can just ask the RIAA about trying to take out peer-to-peer, right? And, you know, these things are very resilient. And it was, you know, updating over flash drives. And then you have the actual payload bit when it actually got to where it wanted to be, which was the Windows machines that were used to program these PLCs, the controllers. Mm-hmm. Once it realized it was on that, it would then shim itself, the payload, into the controlling software. So it would mess with the commands that were being sent to the PLC, and then also mess with the commands coming back. So it would spin up the centrifuge, you know, maybe 10 times faster than it was supposed to run, so it was getting much, much hotter mm-hmm. in there. And then when you looked at the console, it would read like everything's A-OK.
Right.
So this thing had at least four O-days in it. And it was four O-days when it was found. Do you know how many? I mean, it was using a lot of stuff we knew about. But when it was released, this stuff was also O-day. I mean, this thing had to cost a fortune to build. So it had to be a government.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we're pretty sure it was a combo of... I'm sure... Okay, the rumor is it was the Israeli government backed by the U.S., and I have no reason to doubt
that.
That's
what I heard, too.
I mean...
I wouldn't doubt it.
I have no evidence of it, but it sounds plausible.
It's the most obvious answer, but that very well might mean that it's not them, just because it'd be easy to... like, if somebody wanted to do that than them...
They had a markers pointing to company, a security company in Wisconsin, whether that's true or not.
Yeah.
That was one of the bits I read.
So,
which is fine. Okay. I mean, you know, if we'd already said we don't like that, you know, we're going to do what we can to stop you from having that. Okay, there you go. They were warned.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
I wonder if that's going to be legitimate if they're like, okay, look, we have UN sanctions against you to stop doing that. You know, we're going to take your money first, and then whatever else we do is sanctioned. I wonder if that's going to be an excuse later on.
Well, why not? I mean, we use UN resolutions to... Well, okay, you know, we used UN resolutions, I think 12 of them, that were broken to invade Iraq. We used UN resolutions to go after Libya, although that's strange. And in the last cyber defense report, they've... claimed that attacks from cyberspace could be considered acts of war and that we might retaliate with actual, you know, bombs, which is horrifying.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
like,
it's
when I read that report, that made me go, well, you know, like, fuck it, America, yeah, fuck yeah. But really, like, peer-to-peer fucking downloading something, you're going to have Marines at your front fucking door?
Well, I think it's more if they think China's hacking the NSA, they might throw bombs. But
Prove it.
Yeah, that's the problem, is with cyber attacks, it's so easy to make it look like it's coming from somewhere else. I mean, you know, the joke is always, oh, China's hacking us. Well, yeah, a lot of attacks do look like they're coming out of China, but like I just said, a lot of Chinese systems are pwned. They're already in botnets because they're using pirated Windows software. Go pull down...
Yeah.
Okay, actually, you know what? Don't do this because it's piracy. Because we can't encourage piracy on the air. Sure, we can't. Anyways. In all seriousness, if you go on Pirate Bay or something and pull down one of the Windows XP installs and scan it, it's already got keyloggers in it. It's already got bot code in it. There was one that was floating around that already had Zeus infected in it. And it's just like, really?
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's yeah. So... You know, and what do people do, especially in places like China and Russia, where nobody gives a shit about U.S. copyright, right? So they're just going to go get the stuff for free. I mean, why not? You know, it's not like they're going to get in trouble. And, you know, it's already pwned. It's already got shit in it. So you've got massive botnets running out of a lot of these places, you know, Russia, China, a lot of the third world, too, because, you know, they don't give a shit about U.S. copyright laws, so... You know, they're going to go for that. And, you know, in all honesty, you probably shouldn't pirate software. You should probably pay the developers because, I mean, I'm writing code too, and if I put anything up for sale, I'd like to get paid for it. But, I don't...
Fuck it, I'll be the first one to pirate it.
Well, I mean, it's inevitable, right? I mean, you're not going to get paid for every copy that's out there. You just need to learn and accept this. But, you know, if you make a little bit of money, that's cool. That's cool. But, you know, you got independent guys out there. You probably ought to support them by paying for your software. That said, you know, Notch Minecraft is a fucking millionaire now, so... Well, no, he's not. Their government took, like, half of it. More than that.
Welcome to the land of taxes.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah.
So... Wow, we really bounced off that story far. So let's go for a silly one here. We got about 5 minutes before the break, and I've got some more Dark Step for you. Let's see here. I lost the thing. We're gonna play. Would you say Ketus? KTEUS. It's you know, he's definitely Creative Commons his stuff, so we like it, and. His site is myspace.com/KTEUS. So when we go into the break, we're going to play his Sun Gone Rising track, which I enjoy. And I'm not... Ketus, I think, is how you say that. I'm not sure. Guys, it's cool and all that you put out free music. Try to have names I can say on the air. I'm from Kentucky. I don't know how to pronounce these weird European shit. So... Anyways, I got a nice article here from the How To Geek: How to Clean Your Keyboard Without Breaking It.
Oh God!
And the pictures are classic.
There's pubic hair in it. Oh God! So much pubic hair.
Well, I mean, he's like sitting here taking a brush and a vacuum cleaner, rubbing alcohol and Q-tips.
You're doing it wrong.
This looks like your standard issue, you know, $5 keyboard, right? And then he's sitting there.
It's fucking white.
He's using a butter knife to pop the keycaps off, and yep, there's hair in there. And my favorite is when you scroll down to the bottom, and it's got like a planter's worth of dirt under where he's removed all the buttons. It's like, okay.
Well, see, everybody right now, take your keyboard, flip it upside down, and shake it. And do that
it.
On, you know.
Oh, God, it's ashtray. Oh, fuck, weed.
Yeah, right.
Oh, hell. And I like some of the different suggestions. You're taking a toothbrush to some of it and really, I mean, really getting down there and cleaning it out. And I will say, if you happen to have a high-end keyboard, like I've got an older Logitech G15 in front of me, you know, before they fucked up the design. You know, it still has, like, the full 18 macro keys and the older black and white LCD and all that. And I'm going to hang on to this keyboard for quite some time because it's a nice keyboard. And
like, for a tip, like, I know Morps is not a tobacco consumer or any other consumer like that, but if you're a smoker, $20 keyboards is the best bet and a $5 mouse.
Well,
trust me.
Yeah. Yeah, just
no, and I'll agree with 100% on that. I mean, how many of us have worked on machines that were in a household of smokers?
And
you just sit there. Yeah,
I don't know about you guys, man, but if I do a fix for someone, I take my own keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, I do too. Actually,
I don't use that shit.
When I was regularly going out and doing help desk calls, I invested in one of those roll up keyboards. And a small mouse to take with me, because I had one where I had to go out to a structure that it was a small office and everybody smoked in it, and the machine, the computer, was dying of nicotine, so it was like, I don't want to touch that, like, at all.
Contact high.
Yeah, so I learned to bring a keyboard and just unroll it and hook it up, and I had one guy ask me, it's like, well, why do you do that, man? And it's like, I said, well, you know, I have to handle a lot of things, and at the end of the day, you know, if I you know, because the guy was kind of all, I think he was insulted, because he was like, you're not going to touch my keyboard? It's like, why? Is it dirty or something? And it was like, and so I came up with the excuse of, no. If I touch somebody else's keyboard and it has crap all over it, you don't want me getting that all over your keyboard, right? So I kind of bullshitted him a little bit. But some of these photos on this How To Geek article are just classic. Because, okay, if you have a good keyboard, it is a good article because it is worth the time to go clean it up, you know, if you've got a, you know, $80, $100 keyboard. If you have a $5 keyboard, throw it away and buy a new one.
Just for the pure decking show, I'm going to submerse one of my keyboards and attempt to clean it in the bathtub today.
As long as it's not hooked up and you flip it upside down and let it dry out, and it has to be completely dry before you plug it back in, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a go, and I'll report back next week whether dipping... Well, actually, I'll shower with it. How's that?
Creepy.
Well, yeah, that is creepy, yeah, but I will shower with it and report back whether it was clean.
Actually, my recommended cleaning solution would be... Well, I don't know if you have that there, but I like the Tilex Soap Scum and Mildew Remover for most things. That'll actually cure... That will clean grease off of a stove in a heartbeat.
Heavy, that's one step away from napalm, man.
Well, you know, I mean, if you do have the stack of old keyboards, you know, you could do something creative with them, like light them on fire and film it and put it on YouTube. Make a great video. So... But, yeah, in all seriousness, the article's pretty cool. You can just Google how to geek, how to clean your keyboard. But, I mean, it's just classic because he's sitting there taking brushes and pulling it apart and all this other stuff. And the keyboards he's cleaning just look like your standard issue everyday keyboards. Although, there is actually a very good point to be made here. All of his pictures are of standard keyboards. If you have a laptop, replacing the keyboards on those can be a bitch, especially older laptops where you can't just, you know, go order parts. First, look on eBay, but you know anything you get on eBay is probably going to be just as bad as anything you buy. So, learning how to clean the laptop keyboard is actually valuable. But
he's actually got one picture here of a low-profile keyboard. Looks like a Mac keyboard.
Yeah, I think it is. Might be a MacBook. He's cleaning the key with a pencil eraser, which I just find comical. But actually, on white MacBooks, I guess that probably would work. It's just. Some of these photos are just classic, and it's just like, oh my god, that's the only reason.
The one with the giant pubic hair, that just gets me every time.
yeah, that's probably...
No, I've actually seen the ashtray keyboard before. It's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, in all seriousness, you know, you can submerge a keyboard, just unhook it first and let it dry before you plug it back in, and really make sure it's dry. But, you know, what are most keyboards made of? They're a rubber membrane... and some plastics, and then a little circuit board. And as long as, you know, hopefully it's got stainless steel screws, because if it's got crappy screws, they might rust. But as long, like I said, you know, get it good and dry, maybe take a brush to it, it'll be fine. Oh, and just while we're on the note, I have painted a keyboard before for a mod. Never again. Oh my god!
You want to talk about it? Kept sticking hay?
No, because I did it right. I took all the keys off and then painted them and put them back on. You want to talk about a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you got to do three coats of paint. No, I'm talking about paint.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's spray paint. But you got to do a couple of coats of color because you got to get it really thick. Mm-hmm. And then you got to clear coat it because if you're going to type on the thing, you don't want your fingers you know, messing with the color. So you got to clear coat it a couple of times, too. And, oh, man, you want to talk about a pain in the butt. So...
Yeah, it's a lot of little keys to deal with.
Oh, yeah, and then you got to get them back in the right order, and, oh, man. Anyways.
No, I prefer to put them in the wrong order, to be honest with you.
Well, as long as they work, right? Well,
I mean, try to use my box.
You know, you could always make the Daz keyboard by just painting it black, right, and not doing anything.
Yeah.
Hey, I just saved $100 and some odd dollars by just grabbing a $5 IBM clicker off eBay and painting it. Ha-ha! So,
yeah.
Anyway, I've got one of those around here somewhere. I ought to paint it. And just not take it apart first. Of course, then the keys will probably stick. Oh, man. All right, well, we are overdue for our break, so we're going to play this Ketis. I guess I'm hoping I'm saying the guy's name right. He's got some good stuff. So let me just mute this call here, and we'll go into our break. I thought we'd open it up with a fun one. Oh, I guess I better unmute the call. Y'all back?
Yeah, occasionally.
Oh, yeah. Occasionally, yeah. Well, let's open up with a fun one here. Chinese boy sells his kidney to buy an iPad.
I loved it.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah, it's kinda...
The story's short.
I hope that one at work.
Doesn't break, since I don't think he can afford a second one.
Oh, actually, I think
he can afford a couple.
Yeah,
yeah. He got, I think it was $3,500 over there.
Well, the story is short enough here. I can just read it.
Chinese media. 22,000 yuan.
Yeah.
Yuan, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, he was so desperate for an iPad, he sold a kidney. 17-year-old boy, resident of Anhui Province, reportedly came upon online information described how he could hawk a kidney over the internet. Just what he needed so he could buy the get the cash to buy an iPad 2. I would, you know, get a job, but, you know, that's you know, knowing his mom, basically what happened was his mom knew that he had, like, no money and didn't know how to manage it. So she asked him, where'd you get the iPad 2? And found out he sold a kidney. And then they went back to the hospital to try to get it back. And, you know, it's like, well, it was sold on the black market, so he's probably never going to get it again. And I'm just sitting there thinking, did he miss the concept of selling? It's like, did you think you were going to get it back? I mean, really?
Yep. It's, so.
Now, what you see, the kid should have been enterprising. He should have sold other people's kidneys to buy the iPad.
Where, BSV, where do you exactly acquire other people's kidneys?
BSV's fridge.
Ways.
Yeah, I just think the government's going to be pissed. They're geese cutting into their racket. I mean, geez, that's what they do with prisoners.
That's true.
You know, the market's going to get flooded with all these private organ sales. I mean, you know, it's going to suck.
Well, I just love how he found information online of how to sell his kidneys. I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
Well, and it's not even that much cash, $3,500 in dollars. You know,
if you need a kidney, that's a pretty damn good deal.
Well, for the buyer,
$500.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, iPad
is driving me fucking crazy. Who are we echoing through?
I don't know. I hear it too. Let me just see here. We're just going to do live testing here. It's gone.
How about me?
It's gone now.
It's gone. The perpetrator is still in the room, though. We will hunt you down and find you, Echo Boy.
BSV. Yeah. I'm going to blame him.
Yeah, it could
be
me.
Suave.
Yeah, no, it's it's no good.
Live on air. Yeah, who is mine. The Echo? Figure out who the Echo is and win a, you know, Chinese boy's kidney. Anyway.
Well, no, let's break this story down to what it really is about, man. This is the great divide that we're starting to see between those who can afford tech and those who can't.
Well, true.
Yeah, but he didn't even get really good tech. I mean, he got an iPad too. You know, something that he could have kept running longer and made relevant much longer would have been a PC of some sort, even a portable one.
I would argue with you a bit on that here, Heavy. I've got, you know, an iPad 1, and I have lots of machines. And just messing with it, you know, I don't see the iPad 1's function changing the way you see a PC functions change. You know, what you expect out of your PCs today is very different than what you expected out of them, you know, 5 years ago. You can't even run most modern distros on an older laptop of, like, older modern Linux distros. The desktops themselves actually require 3D hardware. Windows, same thing. They actually are using the 3D accelerators now to draw the desktop. I've got a stack of old laptops here that I cannot... You know, I got to make sure I'm using like GNOME 2 or XFCE because, if I put Windows on there, put it in XP or 2K, because I know the modern stuff isn't going to run. Whereas an iPad,
yes, but how often does Apple say, "Oops, sorry, new OS, your old hardware won't run it, upgrade"?
But the point I was going to make is an iPad is more of an appliance, so. You know, 5 years from now, you're not going to be expecting something different out of your iPad like you do, you know, your computers.
Right. I guess I'm coming at it from the point, you know, of where we talked on Tuesday, which is, you know, what can you do with it? And you can actually do quite a bit more with, I should say, easily you can do more with an actual desktop, as such as learning from it and programming with it.
No dispute there. Yeah, I mean, an iPad is probably not the best thing in the world to sell your kidneys for. But, you know, I mean, I don't fault somebody who's not... If you're not looking to get into the field, if all they want to do is get online, get on their Facebook or something like an iPad's not bad. Generally, getting malware on the things requires it to be jailbroken. I'm sure that's going to change, but of course you can jailbreak them now fairly easily. I haven't done too much looking into malware on like Android phones and iOSs, and I probably ought to dig into that a little bit.
Probably because they don't run Flash, it makes them a hell of a lot less vulnerable.
Well, that has part of it, but you know, you could for a little while there were websites you could go to that use PDF exploits to root your stuff.
Yeah,
and of course, you know, the phone somebody gets physical hold of it, then you know, all bets are off, right?
All right, did any of you guys let anyone else touch your phone?
No, in fact, I get twitchy if somebody else touches one of my machines.
Never.
Yeah, I'm yes. Completely the same, but I see a lot of this, like, dick swapping, I like to call it, people handing each other the phones and letting them play with them. Like, to me, a mobile phone device, if someone's placed one down, I ask permission to move it, let alone even look at it.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you know, some of the older stuff, especially like the feature phones where it was just, you know, your phones, your text messages, and your picture, you know, phone numbers and pictures and text messages and, you know, that's kind of it. Okay, I could see handing your phone to somebody else, letting him use it. But, like, my iPhone, I've got all my email on there. I've got a bunch of my personal stuff on there. Of course, all my apps, all the data. That kind of stuff is like, you know, just even letting somebody else look at that, I get twitchy. I really do.
Yeah, I'm totally the same, but I've just found this fucking annoying habit. I don't carry a phone, so it doesn't really apply to me, but it just annoys me when I see other people just going, "Oh, you have the new Apple trendy fag phone? Oh, fuck, let me have a look." And they just grab it and start scrolling through shit. I'm like, you don't do that, man. That's like grabbing a man's junk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only time I have ever handed a smartphone to another person was a particularly cute female, which is a good way to get to somebody if you need to do that. Well, a particularly cute female who I would hope to stick it in later. You know,
well, I tell
that's
you.
The only time.
You want to stick the phone in her or something else?
Kinky.
Multiple things, you know.
Although, as somebody who does carry the latest trendy fag phone, you know, they do say carrying an iPhone helps you get laid. And now that it's been said on Pure Decking, the internet show of record with our, you know, two listeners who will get the word out, the, you know, that's now the truth.
That I'm pretty sure came from OkCupid. They do a lot of analyzation of all the data they've got on their dating site. And I do seem to remember people who've have iPhones. Yeah, they've got a not a huge percentage higher, but it's higher percentage of getting laid.
Well,
although they've
also
found a
now.
Heavy link with anybody using a smartphone in general. They were just kind of using the iPhone term to get hits.
Well, you,
and it's really just, and it's not because of the specific device or anything. It's just that it's a status symbol. It's just like having a fancy car.
So
it
shows you have money.
It just shows that you have money. Yeah.
Good SEO.
I look like the poorest motherfucker in the world then, because I ain't even got a phone.
Actually, you're right about that. A lot of people will say, "Oh, you don't carry a phone?" And think something's up. So,
oh yeah, yeah, it draws a lot of attention because mainly now they go, "And your mobile phone number, sir?"
Yeah.
Well, the thing about that, I've never actually owned one. What?
Well, you know, I don't have a landline. I've only got my cell phone. So a lot of people ask me, "Well, what's your home phone number?" I don't have one, and it's because I don't want to give a phone because I know I'm going to get spam or telemarketing.
Yeah, so. And that is why you have a Skype number that changes on a regular basis.
Yep.
You change it once every 6 months or however, whenever your subscription renews.
I sort of look at it like this. Like, people carry a mobile phone around just in case they get a call. Other people carry a condom around just in case they're going to get laid. I'm not looking to get laid or get a phone call, so I carry neither.
I carry my phone around to get my email, but that's not the point.
My phone actually 90% of the time acts as a portable data access, a computer, and essentially occasionally as a communication device.
Where the fuck are you people going where you don't get access to an open terminal whenever you want?
My car and
work.
Okay, car, fair enough, but you should not be fucking Google hacking in your car unless you're...
This is me we're talking about. I can't help myself.
All right, I forgot it's Morps. Yeah, Morps is the man that waits.
I was going to say it's generally frowned upon to use, government computers for personal use. So I have my own.
Dude, like, shopping centers these days have open terminals. Just, if you're confident enough, walk behind the counter.
Yeah, you don't use those. Do you know why you don't use those? Because it's easy for jackasses like me to walk up and put keyloggers on those things. Never touch it. Never put personal data in a terminal you don't control. Never do it.
But why would you access personal data? Like, I suppose maybe you guys, because you have lives. I don't really have a life. That's why I don't need a lot of personal data. But there's nothing I can't do until I get home. There is no hack that needs to be done instantly. Then again, I do carry a thumb drive around with all my little tools on it.
Yeah.
Look, the company they're just behind, basically my smartphone is an extension of my brain. If I need a fact or piece of data as part of a conversation, then that's what I do, is I'll go look it up. If somebody needs direction somewhere, I need to do a satellite imagery of a particular location to find out where I'm going. That was handy the other day when I took the work van in.
Heavy just destroyed my segue there because I kept trying to swerve back into email. Because I get my work email. That's why I keep my phone as handy as I do. But, Heavy immediately swerved away from the email and started going into all the things he does with his phone because I was trying to swerve into another story here I thought we ought to mention. The FBI...
That was the most awkward segue I've ever heard.
You haven't seen a fat security guard riding a segue then. Because those things squeal when you put too much weight on them. Bad joke. I know. So, FBI is investigating China Gmail attacks. So, there's a big deal about it. Several high-profile Gmail accounts got hacked, and supposedly it's out of China. And, of course, Beijing is saying, blaming China is unacceptable. And, I'm taking their word for what it says because I can't read slanty-eyed. So, I'm hoping that's what their press release actually says.
Mm-hmm. Have you got a link to the story?
Yes, I do.
I know we were given all this post show, but or pre show.
It's actually this is one of those stories that I really like because it just goes to show that there's multiple things going on here. One is A, people don't want to take responsibility for their own shit. Oh, I got hacked. Well, okay. you know, did you have anything important on your email that you really needed to have secure? If so, why did you put it on, you know, a public email server?
Well, here's what I want to know is why do, you know, senior U.S. officials have Gmail accounts?
Yeah, you think it'd be a .pentagon,
yeah, this
dot
is,
fucking gov.
This is just like 2 years ago during the last round of presidential elections when somebody got into Sarah Palin's Yahoo account.
Yeah.
Why the fuck does Sarah Palin have a Yahoo account?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was already she was a state official, but why are they using public email at all?
Yeah.
Why they have a Facebook?
I mean,
they did that with.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I use Gmail, but not for my work stuff. That's my personal crap. My work stuff goes through my work email. Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, even President Obama went through the entire, you know, VacuSeal data security setup. You know, they said, no, you can't use that. You can't use that. Everything has to be archived. So this is the only device you're allowed to use. You know, and that should be true with every government official. But I guess, you know, it's the beauty of our fair country is every state is different.
But to be fair, Heavy, if I'm the president of or even the prime minister of any country, I'm not going to let my national advisors hand me the phone that they've prepared.
Well, no, he said, I would like a BlackBerry, and they said, well, here's one model that you're allowed, you know, and you pretty much, that BlackBerry was the only one, and they have their own server that it connects to, and that's pretty much it.
Well, that's one of the reasons they push BlackBerry is, the BlackBerry encryption is actually very good, and you can set up your own servers with them. It's expensive, but I don't know. I mean, things like other smartphones, especially Android stuff, where you could just write your own apps, you would probably have a much easier time of it because you could use off the shelf email servers as opposed to high dollar RIM servers and encrypt them yourself. Maybe do something like a PGP and put together a pretty bulletproof system. But then again, this is the government. They're not going to build anything. They're going to buy it. So, you know. Next story here.
Which is a good argument.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, nice long silence next story, and then Heavy goes back to it. Go ahead, Heavy. What are you going to say?
Sorry. I was just going to say it's a good argument. Some of us that are, not necessarily super pro big government would approve of them buying something from a corporation. Just saying.
Well, they it's just like anything. They like having somebody to blame if it breaks. So if, you know, Bill, the IT guy, built their system and, you know, went on to do something else 3 years ago, you know, they've got nobody to blame but themselves when it breaks. Whereas if, we bought this from RIM, they can sue RIM when, you know, shit hits the fan.
True.
So.
All right. So
are you?
Next
I'm
story.
Never clicking images from you in the middle of a show again. My God, what is wrong with you?
I saw it and I just went, oh, fuck, I have to share this.
You just wanted me to scream on air again. That's what you wanted. So. Next story here. This is kind of cool. Oracle has decided they don't want OpenOffice.org anymore, and they're going to try to give it to Apache.
I like it.
Well, it's the best move for them since they're obviously not going to maintain it themselves. So maybe
didn't
we
they
can
just buy that long ago.
Well, Oracle bought Sun, and Sun was the steward of a lot of open source projects, and so a lot of people didn't really know what's going to happen with them. And Oracle wasn't being very upfront with them, so they started forking them off. The guy who did MySQL forked his off. I can't remember what it's called. He picked some weird-ass name for
LibreOffice with the OpenOffice
LibreOffice was the OpenOffice fork, and since Oracle's giving up OpenOffice, they'll probably merge them back together again, which is good because the OpenOffice brand is a lot better than the LibreOffice brand.
Yeah, the thing is, like LibreOffice, Libre is a branding of tampon here. And you only use it if you're bleeding heavily.
Oh, awesome. Nice.
It's a last resort, man. Like, seriously, go pirate yourself a copy or something. Don't use Libre. I've fucking used that before, and seriously, you will bleed heavily from the dick.
Wait, what? That's a what with a W-A-T. Anyways,
yep.
I'm totally at a loss now. I don't know.
I killed the show. Yay! Yeah. No, seriously. Ripping off isn't bad. It's not
an alternative. You know, I use Office a lot, and yeah, it's not bad. I'd recommend it.
Oh yeah, Open Office is good. That's what I use on all my home machines. It's free.
Yeah, it's free, but it yeah, stay away from Libra.
Now, I was going to say, my guess is Oracle just wanted a chance to go through all this shit to see if there was anything worth having
as proprietary. Spin it all off.
And then they said, fuck it, it's too much trouble. So, here you go. So, that's cool.
Well, Apache does a lot of open source projects. I'm not sure if Apache's the right one for OpenOffice, but if nothing else, they can take it and then give it to whoever should have it. So...
Yeah, no.
I'm not actually sure what group should end up with OpenOffice. As long as it's not GNU, that's...
As long as it stays free, I don't give a shit. Yeah. Well, I'm still functional.
I'm just worried if the Free Software Foundation picks it up, they're going to start stripping it down, get all the non-free code that they don't approve of out. Because that's what they do. That's what they do every time they pick up a project, and they're the ones who, you know, they're the people who get pissy when you don't call it GNU Linux if you just call it Linux. Never mind the fact there's a great article. I saw it earlier today. I wish I'd saved the link, where a guy did a breakdown of lines of code from various projects in like Ubuntu and another distro, and he figured out that GNU software, the traditional GNU / Linux, is like less than 10%. Of what's in a modern distro, and the kernel's like 13%. So, you know, the whole screaming that you should call it GNU Linux is a bit of a dead argument. And I don't. Why did we go into that?
I have no idea.
I do like taking the piss out of the Free Software Foundation. It's just fun. So, you know, I love open source and free software. Don't get me wrong. I just, you know, when your operating system becomes a religion, you might have issues. Just ask any Mac fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yep.
No, I've run into that. And we've all got that one person that we know that's like, oh, Mac is awesome. It's wonderful. And I'm like, really? Because
you go.
They make good stuff. I mean, it's overpriced, but they make good stuff. So.
Well, I don't mind them as a hardware manufacturer. You know, and I don't mind their software.
You can't get into their shit.
That's fair enough. No, I mean,
and everything's more expensive, and you don't get memory cards in your phones, and
yeah,
you know,
and yeah. You can't get into their shit.
damage the case a little bit, you know, using the Dremel on it.
Yeah, exactly. Feel the end all of the day, man. I am not buying tech that does not have fucking screws, so I can get in there and change a part if I need to.
Oh, no. The reason, this is absolutely 100% the reason I've never purchased an iPhone. I can't replace the battery easily. You know, I just go into the fucking store, any one of the stores that sell my phone or you know, even their shack, and pick up a replacement battery. Boom, done.
Yeah, you know? That's a legit argument because... When the battery goes in the iPhone, you actually have to send it in to get serviced. Whereas if you, especially a lot of Android phones, the battery won't last a full day. So you've got to carry a spare with you and swap them out if you're going to be going, you know, hard and heavy for 12 hours. I mean,
I would argue that a lot of that is there are proper application apps that you can download.
Well,
some of them are. It's
a whole nother show, and we're out of time. So
okay.
it's an hour long. But yeah, you know, the whole power optimization. I think the first five shows were nothing but cell phone, anyways. So I'm just gonna kill it there, like right now. Let me, because it's time.
Go Open Office.
There's the call muted. Ha ha. So, and I think this is appropriate. Just a little bit of patient zero to close out the show.